The following is a paid advertisement. All views and or opinions are solely those of the advertiser and not KLGR or its parent company, Alpha Media, LLC.
Welcome to Treat the Cause, the program dedicated to helping you find and treat the root causes of some of the most common health challenges. Dr. Kyle Pankinen is a board-certified chiropractic orthopedist and certified functional medicine practitioner. Join him as he teaches you about the causes and solutions to the health challenges that affect many people.
Dr. Kyle Pankinen, thank you for joining me for today's episode of Treat the Cause. We have a really good information-packed episode to bring you today. We're going to be sharing a couple of really, I think, are pretty exciting cases of patients of mine that just recently had success with chronic back pain. And so we're going to continue on with what we talked about last time, which was non-surgical axial spinal decompression therapy, or decompression therapy for short. And I really spent quite a bit of time a couple weeks ago talking about some of the most exciting research that has been done on this really great technique for treating the tough cases of back or neck pain. So I like to use this on challenging cases, chronic pain cases, and when other things have failed. One of the things I didn't spend a lot of time talking about last time is what physical effects spinal decompression therapy has on the spine. One of the studies I want to reference showed that in a group of patients, they did MRIs of their spine when they began treatment. And these are people that had bulging disc, herniated disc, or degenerated disc. In a degenerated disc, the cushion or that disc, the shock absorber in between the vertebrae starts to thin down. It loses water or hydration. And as that gets closer together, the vertebra does, because the cushion or the shock absorber is being depleted in between them. That can cause encroachment or pinching or narrowing of the canals where the nerves come out and cause nerve compression. And in one of the studies they did on decompression, they actually found that when they did MRIs of people before decompression, measured their disc height, and then they did a decompression program on these people, and then they did MRIs after the fact, they found an increase of disc height almost of 2 millimeters, or just slightly under. That might not sound like a lot, but when you're talking about spine pain and nerve compression, sometimes the difference between having pain, or maybe a lot of pain in some cases, and having little or no pain is sometimes literally no more than a millimeter or two of difference. If you can open up the spine enough and get some pressure off of the nerves and the pain-sensitive structures there, many times that millimeter or two can mean all the difference in the world to the patient suffering from chronic neck or back pain, and alleviating enough pressure to get their pain levels way, way down. So that was an exciting finding and revelation. And they also, from the studies I wanted to share, and I think I did share this last time a little bit, but when you put somebody's spine under non-surgical spinal axial decompression therapy, you actually can get the pressure within the disc lowered to as much as minus 150 millimeters of mercury of pressure. And see, when we are standing and sitting and lying down, even all positions we're in, The discs of our spine are always under a certain degree of positive pressure. And people that have bulging discs or herniated discs, that extra pressure can really make a difference whether they're having pain or not. That's why the person who has a bulging or herniated disc and maybe sciatica down their leg, they'll say things like, well, doc, if I lie down, boy, I feel all right. But boy, if I sit for very long or stand for very long, boy, that really makes my pain worse. The reason that is because those positions put more pressure on the disc than lying down, and it causes the disc to bulge or herniate out more, and it causes greater pain symptoms. So a decompression, we have a mechanism whereby we can reduce the pressure in these discs to a negative level, up to, I said, minus 150 millimeters of mercury pressure. And what that means is that negative pressure that's created on the disc helps to produce a vacuuming or suctioning type effect on the disc, whereby it helps it to draw bulging, herniated, leaking material back in. And this is the mechanism by which a bulge or herniated disc can be reduced without surgery. Not always, but many, many cases it can be done without surgery. Up until now, there was no known mechanism to reduce or get rid of a bulging or herniated disc other than through surgical means. And so this is great news for the chronic back or neck pain sufferer. So this is a treatment option that we've been offering at Red Rock Chiropractic Center for over 6 years, and that I've kept track of every single patient I've done it on, and we show 89% success rate, meaning 89% of the people that do our spinal decompression program for their neck or back condition, by the time treatment program is all said and done, they will have achieved a minimum of 50% or greater relief. And many people go on to see a resolution of their pain. We're going to dig into some other interesting research here. Before we do that, if you have a question, reach out to us at 507-752-7650 or look us up online at redrockchiro.com or email us at redrockchiro@centurytel.net. When you look at our website at redrockchiro.com, click on the tab for decompression. We've got some videos on there. We've got some frequently asked questions and answers. We have some other information that can help you make an informed decision to see if this is a treatment option that may be right for your chronic neck or back pain. Also, click on the tab for Treat the Cause, and you will find archives to many past episodes of Treat the Cause, and lots of topics to choose from there. This next section of our show today, I want to spend a little bit of time talking about some of the research on one of the most common medical interventions for treating chronic neck or back pain, that is epidural steroid injections. And these are commonly used. The typical time these are used is when a person would present to in a traditional medical setting to their doctor, and they say, "Doc, my back's killing me. What you got to offer?" Well, typically in that situation, some type of an anti-inflammatory medication, maybe a muscle relaxer, maybe oral steroids like prednisone would be given, and then the doctor would say, "Well, try this for a week or 2 weeks or whatever," and then the patient, then we'll see how it goes. Well, if that doesn't help, then the next thing they typically do is, well, we'll send you to some type of a specialist, be it an orthopedist or a neurosurgeon or a pain management specialist. And their typical route is some type of an injection. And that injection usually is called an epidural steroid injection. And I just want to share with you what the FDA and what the Journal of the American Medical Association are saying about this very common approach. to treating back and neck pain. Here's what the FDA says right on their website. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration is warning that injections of corticosteroids into the epidural space of the spine may result in rare but serious adverse events, including loss of vision, stroke, paralysis, and death. And the FDA has been issuing cautionary statements about epidural steroid injections since 1981. So 40 years they've been cautioning about the use of these. And the journal of the American Medical Association, based upon these findings, they wrote articles that were published in their publication, basically saying, advising physicians to refrain from recommending injection therapy to patients with any kind of chronic back pain. In other words, they're saying these are risky, and the research on them shows they're not all that effective. Some of the latest studies I've read on them, and there's a lot of studies, but one of the latest ones I read showed that they have about a 32% success rate. And of the 32% of people that get relief from epidural steroid injections, most of them do not see beyond 6 to 8 weeks of relief. So for about a third of the people, it gives them some temporary relief. There's some cases that see longer than that. I don't dispute that a bit, but it's not that impressive. In some of the European countries, they actually have basically, their insurance or health system has completely stopped covering epidural steroid injections in the spine because the research is lacking and patients just aren't getting good results with it and of the risk associated with it. Yet in the United States, these suckers are given out like candy. And I think it's a practice that's way overdone and with very little results for the sufferer of chronic neck or back pain. Instead, I think there's great non-drug and non-surgical alternatives. And so with that said, we're going to share a couple of recent cases of patients that I treated. First gal here is a 58-year-old female. She comes into me with very severe low back pain, 8 out of 10 for severity. She's had this since July of last year. She presented as a new patient on the 1st of March this year. So she had been living with this pain for about 8 months. Sharp, burning pain. It would shoot down her right leg into her hamstring, into her calf, and down into her fourth and fifth toes. Her pain is so bad, mind you, this is just a 58-year-old lady. She's not old. She cannot bend over to even put her shoes on, and she says, I have to have my husband help me to do this, which is, you know, that's a big deal for somebody that is that young, that my pain is so bad I can't even put my shoes on by myself anymore. Before she comes to see me, she's had 2 injections into her spine. She's had a full month of chiropractic treatment elsewhere. She's been on muscle relaxers for several months with little to no relief. She's had x-rays. She's had an MRI of her spine. And there were some interesting findings on there. Her second to the lowest level of her spine, it showed she had moderate facet arthrosis. So she had some wear and tear, or as I like to say, some rust on the hinges at one level of her low back. She also had a bulging disc at that level. Her basic diagnosis was sciatica. The sciatic nerve is the biggest nerve in the human body. Starts in the low back, goes down through the buttock, all the way down the leg to the foot. So when you get that distribution of pain down the back of the leg, that is generally referred to as sciatica. So she had done some research on our clinic. She had heard about us. She'd heard us on the radio and different mechanisms and was interested to see if our spinal decompression program could hopefully provide her some much needed relief. And I'm happy to report, I just saw her today, and she's about halfway through her program, and she is 80% relieved of her chronic pain. She can bend over to put on her shoes now, which she hadn't been able to do for 6-8 months. She's no longer taking any muscle relaxers, and she actually has some periods of time when she says, I've had some periods of time when I haven't felt any pain at all, and I haven't felt that since last summer. And so she's excited. I'm excited. It's a great case. She's getting relief. No shots, no drugs, no surgery, but it's a specialized technique. So we're doing spinal decompression therapy on her, deep tissue robotic laser therapy into her low back and down into the sciatic nerve distribution down the into the buttock. We got her a prescription for some custom-made foot levelers, orthotics. We've done a little bit of chiropractic work on her. And we have her taking a supplement called Disc Discovery. And that stimulates cartilage production in these discs. It promotes inflammation reduction. And this is the program of treatments that we're using on her. No side effects. And it's working great. Let's share another case. This was a little younger gal. She's a 37-year-old female. She comes into me in February of this year. So both of these cases I'm sharing are recent. They're hot off the presses. And she has left leg and buttock pain. She is 6 out of 10. And I had her fill out, when she started treatment, a disability questionnaire. It's called the Oswestry. And it kind of records how a patient's pain affects their activities of daily living, their ability to walk and stand and sit and lie down and things of that nature. And she scored a 64% disability. In other words, her pain was so bad, it was really interfering with her daily life. Her biggest impediment was that she couldn't lay in bed at night. So this was a case where she actually felt relief when she was up and moving around, but when she would lie down, her pain was excruciating, prompting her to get out of bed and go to the recliner. And so she spent weeks and weeks sitting in a recliner just to try to get sleep, which is totally eluding her. Well, that's not good for her marriage. It's not good for her family. It's not good for her sleep quality either. And so she is really looking for some help. So we took some x-rays on her. A couple of interesting findings. So as a 37-year-old, she already has two levels of degenerative disc, L4-5 and L5-S1, the bottom two levels. Interestingly, she also had a 5 millimeter short leg on the right. In other words, her right leg was shorter than her left. That might not sound like much of a difference to you, but that is a significant difference. Research studies show that if a person has leg length difference of anything of 5 millimeters or more, it can cause or contribute to back pain, hip pain, and sciatica. And interestingly, the pain usually shows up on the side of the long leg. So in this case, she had a short right leg. Her pain showed up on the side of the long leg on the left side. The other thing that I will share with you, and that this is a misdiagnosis in lots and lots of cases of back pain. Here's the reason why. When you go to see your traditional medical provider with back pain and they end up taking x-rays, they usually do it when you're lying down. Big mistake. Because they're going to miss many things like what we just said here. If you have a leg length differential, the only way to accurately analyze that is you need to have a standing x-ray done that shoots across the hips up into the low back so that you can evaluate the leg length on the x-rays and measure that. You can't accurately do that or measure that on the x-rays when they're lying down. It doesn't give you reliable results. And so I've seen a myriads of cases of people that had chronic back pain over the years, and that was the missed cause or the missed diagnosis. And the reason it was missed is because the x-rays were taken when they were lying down and not standing. And so when they come into me for evaluation, I ask them, well, have you had x-rays? Yes. Were they lying or standing? And if they say lying down, I say, unfortunately, we are going to maybe have to take another couple x-rays of your spine from a standing or weight-bearing position. And that a lot of times will show the discrepancy in the leg lengths. Also on her, what was really interesting, she had the short leg, but we also did a standing digital foot scan of both feet simultaneously, and it showed a significant imbalance in how she bears weight side to side. And also, she had terrible foot posture. And if you think about it, if your foundation is messed up, if it's misaligned, if it's imbalanced, what do you think that does to the structures above? Well, it misaligns and balances them too. So with a lot of people with chronic back pain, you got to look at the leg length differential. You got to look at the feet. And both of those are completely 100% of the time overlooked in traditional settings. So, just saw her today. She just finished with her decompression program. Her pain started at a 6 out of 10. Now she's down to a 1 out of 10. 90% of her pain is gone. She can sleep in bed almost all night now with little pain. Once in a while, about 4 or 5 in the morning, she's got to get up out of bed a little bit because she's starting to get a little sore. But we'll get rid of the rest of that. Her disability questionnaire, though, originally started at 64%. Now it's down to 16%. Well, what did we do with her? The first thing we did, we got her into Foot Levelers custom-made orthotics because we needed to get her better balanced. And by balancing her, that improved her alignment from the feet up to the spine. Then we began our decompression program on those bottom two degenerated discs in her low back. And then we put deep tissue robotic laser therapy into her low back, into that sciatic nerve distribution down into where she had the pain in her buttock. We did a little chiropractic work on her. We taught her a few simple stretches to do at home, and we put her on a supplement called Disc Discovery. And that helps to regenerate and repair some of the damaged and lost cartilage in these discs, or at a minimum, to slow the loss down. And the primary ingredient in that is chondroitin sulfate. And chondroitin sulfate has been shown in studies to help to repair, regenerate, rebuild damaged discal material in the body. So it helps to hydrate them, in other words. Now, granted, you're not going to make a degenerated disc like new again. But it is possible, as we shared earlier in our episode, to increase disc height with spinal decompression. And then when we add in things like the right nutrients that the disc needs by taking the supplement Disc Discovery, that's a powerful 1-2 punch to improve the health of the intervertebral disc. And when it comes to spine pain, the disc is one of the most common causes of chronic back or neck pain. And so here we have a powerful therapy options that can treat these. So I just hope these cases give you some food for thought. I hope the research that I shared on spinal decompression and how and why that can work by increasing disc height was effective. And, you know, I'm not trying to tell people to never get shots. That's not what I'm saying here. I'm just saying, here's what the research is showing. And make informed decisions. That's all I'm saying. And try in cases of pain, try if all at all possible to seek out non-drug and non-surgical options first. One, they're much safer, and two, they work. And they work in high percentages of cases. So on our next episode of Treat the Cause, which will be on the 8th of May, we're going to talk about another chronic pain condition, chronic knee pain. We're going to share our protocol. We're going to share some case studies. We're going to share some research when it comes to chronic knee pain. And these, again, will be non-drug and non-surgical options. And what are we all about here at Red Rock Chiropractic? One, finding the cause. Two, treating the cause. And three, if at all possible, treating the cause without drugs or surgery. And then if we can't help, we refer where necessary for the person to get help. But a lot of these cases, we can help without having to refer elsewhere. I want to thank you for joining me for today's episode of Treat the Cause. I invite you back in a couple weeks, and have a wonderful day.
Thanks for listening to Treat the Cause with Dr. Kyle Pankinen. Dr. Pankinen owns and operates Red Rock Chiropractic Center in Lamberton. You can learn more about the practice and request an appointment by visiting redrockchiro.com or by calling 507-752-7650. Red Rock Chiropractic has convenient hours to fit your schedule. Once again, you can contact them at redrockchiro.com or call 507-752-7650. Be sure to tune in next time for Treat the Cause with Dr. Kyle Pankinen.
The preceding was a paid advertisement. All views and our opinions are solely those of the advertiser and not KLGR or its parent company, Alpha Media, LLC.